Hello, my friends. This is Linda Lippin, and welcome to the Pilates Goddess Podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Linda Lippin here for the Pilates Goddess Podcast, Episode 2. So I receive an email routinely called Harrow, Help a Reporter Out. And I, of course, get the health and fitness version of Harrow as well as the main version. And essentially, it's, you know, just listing stories that reporters are writing or, you know, handling for TV or any kind of news outlet, and they need expert help with. And it was interesting today because one of the questions that a reporter was asking is about muscle confusion. And the question actually isn't, does muscle confusion exist? Which I kind of think is the is the actual question here. Instead, the questions are, what is muscle confusion and what are some examples of muscle confusion and how can you incorporate muscle confusion into your workout routine? And this just makes me giggle because there really is no such thing as muscle confusion. I'm saying it again. There is no such thing as muscle confusion. So the term muscle confusion started to come onto the scene, I would say maybe 10 years ago. And it was during kind of the heyday of Beachbody and P90X. And they started talking about how the P90X workouts were so great because you confused your muscles by engaging in different kinds of activity. Now, it sounds kind of cool, right? You're like, awesome, muscle confusion. That's what I want, right? I want to train my muscles to do different things and not be sure what's going on. But if you really kind of dig a little bit deeper into the phrase, number one, confusion happens in our brains, in our minds, not in our muscles. So your brain can be confused, like you can be confused about what movement you want to do or how you want to do it or choreography or, you know, something else, but your muscles aren't confused. Like when you bend your elbow, your biceps contract to bend your elbow. There's no confusion about that. Now, your brain can be confused about what kind of bicep curl you're doing, about what you want to do with the heavy object that's in your hands, or, you know, controlling the pullback of a band or a spring or something like that. Your brain could be confused maybe by what's coming next if you're not doing a, you know, static series of exercises where you know what's happening next. So your brain can certainly be confused, but your muscles don't get confused. Okay. And if your muscles get confused, if there's a disconnect between like a movement that you want to happen and that movement actually happening, that's a problem. That's something that you have to go to a medical professional and get dealt with, because that means that there's something going on in your nervous system that is causing your muscles to not know what to do. So muscle confusion is just a falsity. Muscle confusion is nothing that actually happens. But even worse, the idea of muscle confusion, I think, is dangerous. And I think it causes our clients to not have as good of an effect or a result from their training as they could. And that's really what I want to talk about today. Okay. So say you have bought the concept of muscle confusion and you want to give your clients different things in different orders, in different ways, on different pieces of equipment, in different planes of motion, every single time they work out with you. A few things are going to happen here. Number one, your clients aren't necessarily going to get good at any of those tasks or necessarily remember how they should be performing those tasks. And this is an issue when they're not with you, okay? For me, what you're doing in the gym or the Pilates studio, even if it's your online Pilates studio with people in their living room, whatever it is, should be so that people feel, function, and perform better outside of their exercise performance, okay? So I actually want my clients to get comfortable in a movement, to get good at a movement, to understand a movement in their bodies so that they can then perform these movements outside, right? We do bicep curls all the time. If you pick up a heavy grocery bag and bend your elbow a little bit to pull it up, your bicep's working there. Okay, like we do these things in life. So number one, if you want your clients to get good and solid and a little comfortable and non-confused about movements and how they should be done and what good form is and all of that kind of stuff, then, you know, you don't want them in muscle confusion. You want to be doing some consistent things every single class and every single session. Number two, you want for both you and your clients to have a metric of when they are doing better, when they are getting stronger, when the movements are getting easier. Once again, this won't happen if they're doing different things in different ways and different resistances and different planes of motion all the time. Okay, there needs to be some consistency. How do you know if you're getting stronger in a deadlift? How do you know if you're getting stronger in your push-ups? How do you know if you're getting stronger in your planks? How do you know if you're getting stronger in your roll-ups, in your tricep dips, you know, whatever it is that you're doing? You don't unless you repeat doing them on a regular basis, right? And then you have that metric like, oh, I did 5 of these last week with no weight and I could barely finish it. And here we are 3 weeks later and I just did 2 sets of 10 with a 5-pound weight on my lap, say for tricep dips. And then you see there's an actual metric that things have gotten better and you have gotten stronger. Once again, if you're just playing around with this concept of muscle confusion and giving yourself or your clients multiple things to do all the time, you don't have a metric. So, you know, I'm gearing this in a way to personal trainers, Pilates teachers, yoga teachers, but I'm also really gearing this to our clients, right? So if you are an exerciser and if you're exercising on your own and maybe doing, you know, YouTube videos or, you know, you've joined a program like Beachbody or you're working out with me in the Strong Bones Pilates studio, whatever it is, I want you to think about whether you can say that you have gotten consistently better at certain movements and exercises, that you are feeling better, and that you are getting stronger and progressing. And basically, if you don't have any metrics, if you've never written down, like, this is where this exercise was really hard for me when I first started it. Say we're looking at a plank or a push-up, right? Because I teach these things in a very developmental kind of way. And I'm going to talk through how I introduce things like this to my clients. So say we are looking at ultimately push-ups. I look at push-ups as a very basic, grounded exercise. I think it's a very important exercise. We need to be able to push ourselves up off the ground. We need to be able to possibly mitigate falling with our arms. We need to be able to push ourselves away from things, push things or people away from us. Like, the pushing thing is important. Okay. It also helps build bone density in the arms and the shoulders and in the upper spine, which, you know, for women over 50 or women in menopause generally is extremely important. And even if you're younger and thinking, I don't need that bone density, yeah, you do, because we build most of our bone density when we're young. So if you can do these things in your teens and your 20s, even better for you. So I start people, if they're dealing with push-ups and if they can be on their knees, because that's a whole nother question, on all fours. And we work on weight bearing evenly through the arms and the shoulders when people are on all fours. And then I play a little bit with folks with moving their shoulder blades together and apart. We work with lifting one arm forward or out to the side and maintaining even weight in the other three limbs, making sure the other elbow isn't bending, that things aren't buckling. Then I move them towards just being on all fours and bending their elbows kind of out to 45 degrees, dropping the chest down towards the floor and coming back up to a straight arm, which is, you know, a basic form of a push-up. Then as people get better with those exercises, and maybe they're doing some bird dogs now where they're bringing opposite arm and leg up at the same time, so bearing a little more weight into that arm that's on the ground, then I will get them up off the ground. I do not go automatically into a short lever plank on the knees push-up. I bring them up off the ground, and then we go over to a wall. And then standing facing the wall with the hands shoulder width, arms straight, I have them go into keeping the body in a straight line, bending the elbows, bringing the chest towards the wall, possibly lifting the heels in the back, and pushing back out from the wall. We do that. We play with angle on that. Then I might bring them, say, to a chair, like a dining room chair. And then I have them bring their hands to the outside of the dining room chair, walk their feet back. So now they're in an elevated plank, and maybe do some push-ups there. Then I might bring them back down to the floor on their knees in a short lever plank on the knees, working push-ups there. And then maybe we try holding a plank. Maybe we try holding a plank, just lifting up a leg and making sure that they're weight bearing nicely on their arms. And then maybe we work towards bending and straightening the elbows in that plank and doing kind of a full push-up. So do you see the development kind of that, right? We go from the all fours to the upright standing push to something in between the upright standing and the floor to then being on the knees to then holding a plank to then attempting a full push-up. Now, this series, although I'm taking people into slightly different planes of motion, is not about muscle confusion. It's about developing a skill. And what I ask for my clients to do while I'm teaching like this is to always have it in their heads that no matter what position they are in, that they are going for the same feeling of strength and stability through the arms and the shoulders and keeping the back straight. So that they have a very clear sense of when they're getting stronger. And I'm going to give you an example of this. I teach three times a week. I teach these half an hour osteoporosis friendly strong bones Pilates classes on Revel, which is a free community for women over 40. So, you know, it's kind of my ideal audience. And it's also a place that I enjoy being in terms of being a member. And I have a group of women who basically take all of my classes, right? They're in my class at least 1 to 3 times every single week. And the other day, one of them who's been, you know, never really exercised, is very thin, very kind of small boned, and has osteoporosis, and already has a compression fracture in her thoracic spine. We were able to do push-ups with her hands on the chair in an elevated plank. Now, up until this point, this person had never attempted a push-up, but we had gone for a number of weeks. She had done the all fours versions. She did the wall versions. And then I brought her into the elevated plank with her hands on the chair version. She did 3. She didn't think she was going to be able to do 1. So it was exciting. It was a happy moment. Her muscles were not confused. She learned a skill. She feels stronger and more accomplished for it. And if she falls, there's a good chance that she's going to be able to catch herself on her hands and mitigate her fall. And that, for me, is the important piece of that. Also being able to push herself up, back up off of the floor. Okay. For somebody who can't be on all fours, you could just go for the wall. You could just go for the wall push-up. But doing things developmentally and doing things consistently, like in every single class that I teach, they're getting some version of weight bearing on their arms and pushing up. Okay. Every single time. In every single class, they're getting some version of standing Pilates footwork or a squat series. In every single class, they're getting some version of a bridge with some kind of single leg situation happening. So in every class, we're doing somewhat similar things so that all of the women who take the class have some metrics and can feel and see as they're getting stronger and able to do things better. So good exercise, my friends, is not about confusion. Good exercise is about clarity. It's about knowing what you want for your body or your client's body. Again, for me, it's all about function. I have a host of injuries, like a ridiculous amount of injuries. I have a really bad vertebral deterioration and herniated disc in my cervical spine. I have some bulging discs going on in my thoracic spine. I have some chronic nerve inflammation and some sacroiliac issues leading to sciatic pain. And I am able to hold myself together because I don't try to confuse myself, because I know what my body needs to do. Now, do I progress things? Yes, I do. Do I try different angles? Do I try different things? Yes, I do. But only once I've mastered some part of the skill that I'm looking to develop. Muscle confusion is not a thing. Muscle confusion is something that was made up by a trainer to basically make clients feel like they needed to do different things in a high intensity way all the time. And it is simply not the case. It's not true. You don't have to do that. Okay. And basically you can do that, but you're not doing yourself any favors. You're not doing anything great for yourself by just kind of flailing through exercise workouts that where you're not even sure what you're doing or what's going on to gain muscle confusion. Okay. Muscle confusion is precisely what we don't want. We want to be knowledgeable, confident movers, because then if we're faced with a situation where the, you know, I can see it in the subway when the subway cars start moving, right? When the subway cars start moving, if you're standing, if you're not holding on, there's a certain way that you have to hold yourself to balance against that forward motion of the subway car. And you can tell the people who have that and the people who don't kind of immediately. And a lot of the people who don't, you know, aren't confident movers. And you don't gain confidence in moving through focusing on something like muscle confusion. You gain strength and confidence in moving through doing consistent, well thought out movements where you can track how you're feeling, you can track how you're working, you can track as you get stronger, and you have actual metrics that you can track because you're going through consistent sets of exercises and consistent things. So if you've been like worried that you're not confusing your muscles enough, stop worrying about that. If you have been pushing yourself to just kind of do different things all the time or have your clients do different things all the time, searching for muscle confusion, you can stop because that's not a thing. You know, engaging in different exercises, in different planes of motion, in different things, that's not a bad thing. It helps the body become more adaptable to different situations we might end up in the world outside, okay? But that's not muscle confusion. That's the body making adaptations to basically be less confused. And again, the confusion does not happen in your muscles. Your muscles know what to do. Okay. It's your brain that's the problem. Your muscles don't have little brains in them. Your muscles connect to the main brain and connect to your ultimately to the spine and to the main brain through your nervous system. And that is what you want to be focused on. Okay. So stop worrying about muscle confusion. Start worrying about skill building, strength building, mobility building, confidence building, and having solid metrics where you can track as you are getting better, more skilled, more proficient, stronger, more mobile, whatever it is that you are looking to do for yourself or for your clients. So I hope this was helpful. Thank you so much for joining me, and I will be back with you in a few days for episode 3. Thanks so much for joining me on the Pilates Goddess podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the Pilates Goddess podcast. Music brought to you by Nerd Salad. Please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, especially if you liked it. And please like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks.